Good morning to you, my sisters and brothers, saints and sinners, people of LCC, guests and friends, children of God. We hear this morning about the faith of a Roman centurion, a man whose career is war, a citizen of an empire that has put this nation of Israel under its boot. And not only that, he is a man who is a Gentile and probably has been pagan most of his life. And then when he arrives in this town, Capernaum, which is really a relatively minor village in Galilee, a population of some 1,000 people, but is home nevertheless to an almost entirely Jewish population. And it is a place that this centurion has come to love. And indeed, we know the people of Capernaum have come to love him as well, because they are the ones who reached out to find Jesus, who they'd heard so much about, the man who heals the sick and has reputedly made all these other miracles happen. They've heard all about Jesus, and here he is in their city. And although many people view him as a rabbi or some other kind of Jewish holy man, the people, the elders of Capernaum, have decided to take a chance and to approach him to help this other man who they've come to admire. This man, this centurion who has put his own resources forth in order that they might build this place where they can all congregate and learn about Torah. This centurion who knew enough about his Jewish friends to know that there is this thing called the holiness code. And the holiness code is what separates people. And that there's a separation between him, a Gentile, and this Jewish holy man that he might not be able to approach him on his own. And knowing that Jesus was on his way over to his house, unless he had some kind of major faux pas as a result of it, he sent people, he sent his friends onwards to talk to Jesus and stop them from coming, and told his friends what to say to Jesus. And yet it was still this opportunity for this centurion to connect with someone who had a different authority, because he himself could not help his beloved servant. And while we have various different readings of this gospel, let's talk a little bit about the servant, because there's some kinds of different interpretations, and we do read the word slave, but it's just talking about a young slave, a young man who the centurion loved, and there's all sorts of possible implications as a result of that. But it doesn't matter how the centurion loved this young servant. He thought his heart would break without this servant in his life. And how difficult the fact that there was this power dynamic, because we read that the servant is a slave. And how difficult it must be to process that. And certainly the fact that it was commonplace and in fact tolerated back in those ancient days in Rome and the Jewish. But, and it was tolerated by all of them. It should not excuse the nature of this relationship that it be one of power to one who is owned and is subservient. But we should also remember that this man has come to love this servant, and this servant has become dear to his heart and is close to death. And the centurion's heart is about to break. And so Jesus, hearing all of this, hearing the humility in the centurion's words, has said he finds faith in the centurion of a kind that he never expected to see, a faith far greater than those of the people of Israel. And it isn't, I have to wonder, isn't it quite interesting that the people gathered there, the ones who Jesus tells them that he has never found faith such as this among the people of Israel, are in fact the same people of Israel. Thanks, Jesus. But yet these are friends of the centurion, and they wish him well. And they return to his dwelling, and here the servant is suddenly restored to good health. Now, I am stricken by one thing in this passage, that the Jesus and the centurion never meet face to face. So this holiness code is yet not broken, despite the fact that Jesus restores the health of the servant. It entirely happens through intermediaries. And while Jesus was himself entirely prepared to go to the centurion's house, he was nevertheless stopped, because the centurion does not consider himself worthy. And so Jesus is looking at the matter of an entirely different context. Ready to visit the Roman, Jesus is filled with amazement when this man sends friends out to meet him and tell him all that the centurion has to say. And how odd some of us might think it, in looking at the context, that this foreigner would be raised up as the exemplar of faith above those people around him. And yet how telling it is, not just for his friends and this community around him, but also what it says that Jesus is saying about the foreigner and the stranger among them. So this message of this open table, that Jesus heals all, was just beginning to take place in Jesus' ministry. This invitation to all people, not just those who were on the inside, those who are in the know, God's chosen people, but this message was one that would permeate through the ages and form the faith of many people in the Christian community time and time again. Now, I have to say, it hasn't always been perfect over the years. There's been often times that the church has decided to have insiders and outsiders and forget the outsiders. They're not part of us. But we do find throughout Christian history instances where we do tend to the outsider and we do tend to the sick and poor, no matter what their faith or where they come from or who they are. And it's even a lesson that we hope to learn today, that we hope to teach the people coming after us, and something that the kids of our joint confirmation shared, the confirmation shared between among Lutheran Church of the Cross, Shepherd of the Hills, University Lutheran Chapel, and Christ Lutheran Church. The group that our very own Marissa Burke took part of. And as the confirmation students and the rest of us continually learned, we went through the Gospel of Luke, that the life and times of Jesus over and over again stressed four L's. Luke lifts up the least, the lost, the left out, and those needing liberation. For instance, surrounded by this community of God's chosen people, this centurion, and particularly his servant, because even though we don't hear from the servant, we don't see the servant, we only hear about the servant, he is probably, next to Jesus, the most central person in this reading. These are Gentiles in a place where people are used to God being the God of Israel and everybody else being set aside, and making them the left out. And yet Jesus remembered them. Jesus felt for them. Jesus was amazed by the centurion, and a miracle happens. The work of God was done even for such as these. Now, every month in confirmation class, we had the first Wednesday of the month where we met for class, and then maybe once or twice some other time in the month, we had what was called a God Out There activity that brought us to unique and different places each month. We cleaned the shoreline by Point Isabel Park. We walked the streets of the Tenderloin with the night ministry. We stood vigil at West Contra Costa Detention Center on behalf of the undocumented immigrants. We visited seniors who were not of people of means at a nursing home in East Oakland. And then we also held a vigil here for World AIDS Day right here at Lutheran Church of the Cross. As we studied Scripture and learned about the Gospel of Luke and what it means to be a Christian on the first Wednesday of the month, we put our faith into practice the rest of the month in these directed activities. And so now that confirmation class is over for probably half of these students, what becomes of them? Our sister Marissa becomes an adult in the church and everything that this entails. In a little while, Marissa will affirm the promises of her baptism and provide for us a statement of faith that she herself, now armed with the foreknowledge of what living a Christ-centered life in the Lutheran church means, she has made a choice. And so this is not the end of learning. This is not the end of service. Because that commitment that we make when we affirm our faith is one knowing that the love of God is within us. That it drives us forward to be faithful servants of one God, knowing that Christ will provide for us, will heal us of our ills, will love us even at those times when we feel that nobody else loves us. Marissa will soon claim her baptism as her own choice, a fully responsible disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to scare you, Marissa. But the indelible mark of God's promise to her was installed on her at her baptism. It will now be there because she herself wills it, knowing what that mark means to her and her community. And we, the community of Christ, are better because she is joining us fully at last. The good news, my sisters and brothers, is that the church is uplifted on this day and made better by the increase of one more. Let us rejoice and be glad. Amen.